You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
We got the theme song here.
It's legitimate now.
All right, guys. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another episode of your favorite Housewives, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 5, Episode 10, Best Frenemies. And I'm your host, Erica Garcia Ross, and joining us this week is a new face.
And a new voice,
and
too.
And a new voice, yes.
Grant Rutter, hello, everyone. Hello.
And Deanna is sick tonight, but she will be back next week. And Grant's going to be joining us
from here on out. I'm really excited. Yeah. I mentioned you earlier, and I'll mention now that I've watched every episode of this. I've had moments where I was, like, falling out a little bit, and I was like, you know, all right, I'm, like, kind of tired of it. But then, like, you know, these women, I mean, I'm back in, you know?
Let's just jump right into this episode. All right, so we're right at the aftermath of Melissa and Teresa and the Joes, everyone making up all nice and happy and coming in here at this episode. It's, you know, we see Melissa and Joe at the beginning of the episode talking a little bit about their sizzle tan billboard. Mm-hmm. And I guess let's just start talking about the sizzle tan. What do you think of that?
Well, my favorite part of the episode was Teresa's commercial that they, like, slid in there. But you could tell, like, they either, like, ripped it from the web, or they just, like, shot it, like, really, like, shoddy, you know?
Yeah.
It just wasn't very good. But, like, it reminded me of, like, Teresa's season one, where she was, like, you know, kind of like a little doll almost. Mm-hmm. And so I got a kick out of that. I think it's interesting. I mean, of course, it's a tanning salon. It's in New Jersey, so it's very appropriate. I find it very appropriate.
Yeah, I have to say that the actual photo shoot and the billboard itself, in my opinion, was a little cheesy. But I guess what do you expect from a tanning salon?
Well, they had this other model come in, and yeah, she was hot, but I was trying to figure out, like, how are they going to have him and this model, like, take a picture together for this billboard and not make it sexual? Because clearly he's married, you know, they're using his star power so people know who he is. And so, like, they're having this, like, this hot chick come in, and they ended up not using her at all. So you wonder if that was even in the plans.
Yeah, well, it could even be the case, too, where they had the billboard, but maybe there was other types of advertising that they use with him and the model, or something,
yeah,
maybe,
like,
in the store,
pamphlet
press,
or something.
Exactly, yeah. It looks like he's, like, the new face of sizzle tan. Yeah. And Melissa didn't want to do it because, you know, according to her, she's like, well, if I do it, then Teresa might look at it like I'm, you know, we're trying to copy her.
Well, she made it very clear that she didn't want to do it because she didn't want to copy Teresa. And she made it very clear again, like, she really made, mm-hmm, like, drove that point home, because she just wants, I feel like, and this is kind of an opportunity for her to really just say, if it can never come back to haunt her, like, she can't say anything. She did the right thing. And she's trying to show, like, you know, that Teresa can't have ammo against her. And in a way, it's a little passive aggressive, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think she should have done it?
I think it was fine that she didn't. In some ways, it was okay. And, you know, Teresa could have gone back and said, oh, yeah, of course Melissa wants to do it because I am. Instead, Melissa didn't give any ammo to Teresa to, mm-hmm, say that. Teresa was like, oh, my little brother. Oh, they want to keep in the family. So
yeah,
it was positive. And I think it was fine that Melissa wasn't in it.
But I can already hear now at the reunion when a question comes up and they're like, oh, well, look, Teresa, what do you think of her not doing it? And she'll be like, well, I think, you know, she'll, like, spin it in a certain way.
Well, I mean,
sure,
already, cat out of the bag where Melissa said, I didn't want to do it for the sole reason that Teresa's going to think I'm copying her. So,
Teresa will just deny it.
Hey,
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And she'll make Melissa feel like she was inadequate for not doing it. Like, you know, I mean, the girl can't win. I mean, I'm not necessarily on Team Melissa, but we can get into this later. It goes either way.
Okay, I want to ask you for a guy's perspective. Because during the film, during the photo shoot, Joey saw the girl come out. And super hot. And he's like, you know, I have my filet, but once in a while I need a hot dog, a dirty dog. And I'm thinking, is that what he's calling the model, a hot dog, a dirty dog? Like, I mean, how did you interpret
that? Kind of went over my head a little bit.
Oh, did it?
I was kind of like, wait, what?
Because if what he's saying is what I'm referring to, it's like, ooh, it just wasn't very nice to the model. Like, for him to say, like, oh, every now I need something dirty. I need to look at, not that he's calling her dirty, right. But saying, like, oh, I want, looks nice to have something on the, I don't know.
Okay, I kind of see what you're saying now. I mean, it's first of all, it's not professional.
No.
I don't expect much less. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I thought it was pretty derogatory to the model.
Yeah, it wasn't appropriate.
No, and if I were her, I'd be like, oh, God, like, who is this creep?
Yeah.
Really? You know,
yeah.
I'm here, I'm a model, I'm doing my job, and okay.
Right.
But I'm just curious what you thought of that. But so, all right, so then kind of in that same vein, Melissa has her photo shoot of her book.
Yeah, and she's got all this wind in her staircase.
More wind.
It was really ridiculous. So they really need to have that big wind machine. I mean, she was inside
she
of her own house that Americans
seen.
No, she looked good, but, I mean, you know, a lot of people, people who are going to buy that book are viewers of The Real Housewives in New Jersey, and so they feel like they've been in her house, and there she is, like, all this, like, when it's just, she's not in a studio where you can kind of suspend your disbelief. I mean, I don't know, to me it was just a little over the top, but she did look good.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've seen the cover of that book so many times, I don't own it, but I've seen it so many times, when she came down the staircase in that outfit, I feel like I saw it like a million times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's this outfit now.
Well, now we got to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
and her wanting more wins.
Right.
So.
Now, what do you think of this book? On a side note, what do you think of it?
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but they did release the first chapter this week.
I have not read it.
Yeah. check it out. I read, you know, kind of snippets here and there, and I don't know. I think it's her attempt to monopolize on being a housewife. And
yep.
I would think what's going on. She had the music thing that doesn't seem to really have panned out that well.
Well, she was on the East Coast doing some performances. I can't remember where, but she was at Shrine at Foxwoods Resort mm-hmm. and Casino in Connecticut. And so, I mean, I think she's stringing that along.
This past week, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
It was the same day where with Teresa and Juicy.
Oh,
right. It was that same day, supposedly. I think she got
the news broke.
Yeah. Oh.
We have a lot to say about that coming up.
Yeah. So, I mean, my opinion is, like, you know, like all the other housewives are, she's monopolizing on being on the show. And the book itself, I think, is kind of cheesy. Like, really, like, oh, married advice. Everyone asks me how we keep things so spicy. It's like, I don't know.
Right.
She's the kind of person that I would go for marriage advice.
Yeah. But. I mean, it's not a creative read, so it's not
no.
like a super interesting read. At the same time, it's not like anything really useful that you're going to learn anything out of. And I mean, it's interesting because Teresa's books, if you want to cook, you enjoy that, you can get something out of it.
Yeah. There's like a purpose behind it. I mean, I guess Melissa's purpose is like you need help in your marriage, but if you really need help in a marriage, you probably should go to some, you know,
yeah,
some kind of
yeah.
a professional for that.
I know. I think it's more of a novelty than anything else. But I'd like to see her do something else. We've got, you know, even Caroline, she has her book, and Kathy, isn't she working on something as well?
Yeah. She has, she has her cannolis that she's doing.
Her
but she
book.
Also
doesn't
has
she have a book.
She has a dessert. She has like a dessert cookbook
right,
that's
yeah.
in the works that she's working on. So, all right. Well, you know, Melissa's got her way of kind of making money, I guess.
Yeah.
But all right. So, you know, stay with Melissa and Joey. They have their family dinner with Teresa and Juicy. So
very
now,
traditional
very
Jersey
traditional.
Sunday.
And I just wanted to point out that I just think the kids are so adorable. All of them are so cute.
They really are.
I mean, Melissa and Joe's kids are, their boys are so adorable. So cute.
Super cute.
And mm-hmm. Teresa's daughters are all adorable. And it was nice to see them all together and the cousins. And you really do... you do feel bad for the kids. I mean, at the end of the day, what really gets affected are the children. And they're so excited to see one another. And it's just, it was nice to see that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Except when we were in the kitchen, and then Melissa had to give a little warning.
Ooh, a little jab.
A little warning. She said, keep being a good little girl. Ooh. Keep being a good little girl. Like, this is my problem with Melissa, because first two seasons she was on, I'm not saying she was the victim, but she definitely was more of the, you know, she claimed that, you know, Teresa, she showed and told different things. She would, like, explain things that Teresa would do in the past, and Teresa would say and do things in the current season. It would be like, oh, I see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And now in this third season, like many of these Housewives franchises, you really can't, like, hide so much about who you really are. And so I feel like, you know, with any type of relationship problems, it takes two people to have a relationship, and so now we're really seeing more of her. And this is, I think, a true shade of Melissa.
Yeah, and I've said this before, too. It's, you know, the producers see, they present what they want us to see, the viewers.
Of course.
And so, in some ways, it's like, I always feel that they're trying to spin things in a certain direction. And it was definitely more in Melissa's favor the last mm-hmm. couple seasons. And you know, I don't think necessarily Melissa had acted any differently in the last couple seasons. And in fact, maybe she's even let her guard down even more now because she was used to being portrayed in a positive way. But, yeah. You know, the producers choose and pick what they want us to see. And I think that they're spinning it more now with Melissa being mm-hmm. more of, you know,
right.
the bad guy, I guess. And yeah, her colors are coming out. And she said, don't you want this for our children? They'll be a good little girl. And it's like, oh. Like, and Teresa's just like, all right.
It's so unnecessary because it's still like a scab, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they just dealt with it. They sat down with Dr. V for 5 minutes. I still have a problem with that. I mean, literally, it was like 5 minutes and now they're all cured or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, so like they did that whole sequence. And then the very next episode, there they are having this great dinner. And it's just like, I mean, don't pick at a scab, but just, you know, stop bleeding. Yeah, like, leave it alone.
Let it heal for a little bit.
I mean,
bit.
It's just that comment is just not necessary. I mean, if anything, they should be celebrating how like comfortable they are around each other after all this time. Mm-hmm. If you're going to even like go there, you know, if you're going to acknowledge, I wouldn't even acknowledge it.
I wouldn't either. I mean, like why put any negativity at all? Like why add salt to the wound? Like just why right. do that? I don't know. I agree with you there. And it, on one other note, I think it was Melissa that asked it like, oh, you know, I think she was wondering where the parents were at. Or saying, oh, aren't they going to come? Mm-hmm. And Teresa's like, no, I think, right? I think it'd be just too much to throw them into this. Or the mother, because I think, you know, the father's sick. But she didn't want them there.
Well, you know what it is? I think her parents really avoid the cameras. Yes. And especially the father, I don't believe he wants anything to do with the show. Even though I know that he did make an appearance, I believe, 2 episodes ago or maybe 3. But that was the first time since the very beginning of the series. So I feel that in this case, they really just didn't want to get involved.
Oh, I know for a fact.
And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. And I think that if I were Teresa and, you know, and Joey, I would want my parents not a part of it at all.
Yeah.
Especially with the drama between the two of them. So, yeah, I mean, it was other than that little jab, I mean, there was, you know, it was a nice little dinner. The other thing I think that was really funny was when Melissa said, oh, give me some more wine. I'm like such a lush lately. And Teresa's face was just classic Teresa. It was hilarious. But anyway, so moving on to the Caroline and her kids. Mm-hmm. And kind of now they're making this a storyline with Albie being super serious and maybe, you know, acting a lot like his father and, you know, his work ethic and everything. What did you think about that?
Well, I can kind of relate to Albie in a way mm-hmm. because for a long time, whenever I really talked to my parents, it was always about careers and jobs and things like that. Yeah. And like certain family members as well. And it ended up with just being like, you know, he was going for a dinner or whatever he was going to the apartment for to hang out with his family. And then you just get into this big discussion about careers and jobs. And, you know, especially being a young person in their 20s, you're always wondering if like what you're doing is enough, if you're on the right path with what you should be doing, is there going to be a payoff? And so I can really relate to him in a certain way, especially with him being that type of guy who like, you know, he has to he feels a lot of pressure that things fall on him. And
well, he's the oldest.
Yeah.
And I understand that too.
Right.
I'm the oldest too.
Yeah. So I can understand. I think it actually was really relatable and I liked the scene. And I think Caroline's a good mom. So yeah. It was interesting. And I like how she was like, you know, like, we're your mom and dad. We're not Caroline and Albert. So don't worry about Caroline and Albert.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good line, especially for kids.
Yeah. You know? And well, you know, with Albie and Chris, they have, I mean, they're two big ventures, like BLK, the water company, and, you know, opening up a restaurant. That's not easy to do.
No.
For it, you know, and I'm assuming, obviously, opening the restaurant, they probably have a lot of help from their parents. They probably got funded by their parents, and, you know, Al owns the Brownstone, so they have a lot of experience here. So it's not like somebody going in there on their own, completely on their own from scratch. But at the same time, those are huge endeavors. And for someone that young to be taking up two businesses like that, it is a lot of stress. It is a lot of pressure. And I don't know. I don't know why that they had the BLK. It seems like that's really just not going well. It was just a bad investment. And I think, supposedly, when you read all the blogs, you read stuff that's out there, you know, Chris, Caroline's brother, he invested a lot of money in BLK. And I guess it's just not panning out the way that they had hoped it to. So I don't know. But now I'm looking at it, they opening up a restaurant to just now sink more funds into another business that might not fail. That's why Albie is under so much pressure, because BLK probably didn't do as well as they.
It could have something to do with it, because they do kind of keep the success of BLK, whether it was or wasn't, like underneath, like low. They don't really comment too much about that. But I mean, we were here before with Lori with Caface, and you know, it was like, oh, am I going to be able to do this? Is this going to be a success? And they had to like redo the restaurant, and I mean, not the restaurant, excuse me, the store, and now it's doing well. And so I feel like it's just kind of like a beat they have to play. Like, is this going to work? Is this going to work? I mean, they've got the power of the Real Housewives of New Jersey on their side.
Huge.
If these were two guys that were just opening up a restaurant because their dad had one, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the tri-state area and the people that come and visit and the hardcore viewers of this show, I'm sure that it's doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's long opened now.
You would think, and I think that makes more sense than the water line, the BLK. I actually see it at my Whole Foods, and I've never bought it.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm a fan of it. Well, the idea of black water kind of grosses me out, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's like the concept itself. I didn't get it when I first saw it, but it does make more sense for them to maybe open up a restaurant, something more local, because those, you know, local fans or whatever, I don't know. I wish them success in this. I hope it pans out.
I have a feeling it will, and I mean, these things might not last forever, but like I said, they got the power of the show on their side, so if you're going to open up a restaurant, you're going to be, you know, connected to the Real Housewives of New Jersey, now's the time while it's still hot.
Yeah, I know. Strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, another thing during that scene that I thought interesting and want to get your opinion on is how Albie reacted to Caroline talking... I'm sorry, how Al reacted to Caroline talking to Albie, and Al basically saying, you know, I don't want to get... what he says, like, basically what he was saying is like, I don't want him to get his balls busted because he's works hard and he's, you know, dedicated to his career. And you really saw Al react strongly to Caroline talking to Albie about that and kind of saying, you know, relax a little bit. And it was a very strong reaction by Al.
Yeah, especially because you feel like the two sons always are like, you know, more trying not to impress the father, but the pressure, the father has a lot of pressure put on the kids. That's what I get from it. Like, he's kind of like a little bit more of a distant father just because of the way he had to work and things like that. So, like, these are kids that, like, really, you know, want to really... not impressed, but really do their father proud. And so I thought that it was going to be the opposite, where like Caroline would be the one trying to like ease off and like, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to kind of let you guys do your thing. So I thought it was a little odd.
Well, I almost feel that with Al, it's like he was getting mad at Caroline for doing to Albie what Caroline does to Al. and, you know, basically saying, like, you know, you work too hard, you spend, you know, you're too dedicated to your career. And I feel like part of the fight that Al and Caroline have is that, is the fact that Al's never there, and Caroline's like, you know, you work too hard, this and that. So it's almost as if he was taking it out on Caroline, I'll take it out on her, kind of the situation between him and Caroline, and kind of deflecting here on this situation between Caroline and Albie. So
I see what you mean, like a little foreshadowing.
Yeah,
that's what you mean. Yes, right.
Yeah, and he got ways. And he was angry, and he shows some anger. Usually, you see Al just chilling back, kind of being in the shadows, mm-hmm. but he really made a point then and there, and then Caroline responded just. Didn't say anything, looked at him, and you could tell it was like, ugh.
And something's up with them, yeah. because they had this discussion about Caroline, you know, basically defending her time with Al and how they were fine and not to worry about things. But we were never really led to believe that there was really anything going on. So this was kind of like a check 1-2, like, you know, what are they talking about? Like, this, what's coming up here? Why are they saying this? And of course, if you look at the previews and this season on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, like, you can see that there's something going to be revealed and there's things between them are coming up. But, it was just kind of like a little, kind of caught me off guard, but they're definitely setting up for something. So something to look forward to.
Yeah. I almost feel like with these two, with Caroline and this storyline, I think it's always been an issue between her and her husband. The fact that he works a lot, the fact that they only see each other once a week, that's always been part of her life and probably always part of her story per se. But I almost feel like because nothing else is really going on, that now they're choosing to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then also, you know, her kids more. But I feel like, I don't know if something necessarily actually happens, or it's more the fact that they're just choosing to show this part of,
maybe,
of her storyline.
Speaking of not much really happening, let's talk about Kathy.
What's there to talk about? Well,
seriously.
Well, it's Rosie's more of her storyline.
I know. Well, Kathy's very lucky that she's related to these crazy people, because she would have never made it onto the show. I mean, I think she's a nice lady. I'm sure she's a very lovely person. I'm sure her cannolis are fabulous and check them out and all that. But I mean, I don't understand why she's really here. She's not really, she doesn't really live that lifestyle of the rich and fabulous that are the Real Housewives. Like, if you look at, like, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and the lifestyle.
Well, you can't even
have.
Compare their Housewives of Beverly Hills to the Jersey.
But if the whole thing of these Housewives is supposed to be like, you know, looking into the lifestyle of the rich and picking it apart. Like, I mean, you know, Kathy lives in a house much like how I grew up, you know, very fortunate still, but I don't know if it was, you know, if it's like of the status of, you know, the Housewives per se. I don't know, but then you can look at someone like Danielle, and her house was big, and it was worth a lot, according to her, but it was, like, falling apart.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I don't know I'm not really necessarily picking on homes, but she just really doesn't bring it like the Housewives should.
Yeah, I think it's more about, not so much the homes, because, I mean, when you think about homes, you look at Melissa's and Joe's home, and supposedly that's, like, a whole facade, that home. So,
right.
You know, and so, I think with Kathy, yeah, she just doesn't bring that much to the storyline when it comes to all the drama and everything. And maybe they had her on the show initially because they, you know, Rich does say, in, you know, random crass things sometimes. Maybe that might bring a comedic element to it. Her kids are adorable, but it doesn't look like they're much part of it either anymore. So I don't know.
And
luckily she has Rosie, because otherwise, yeah, no one would really care.
Yeah, I mean, she should just be like a friend of the Housewives, the cousin, you know. It's okay. We don't need to have her on in the opening. I mean, my opinion on this whole season was, especially after last year's reunion, that they really need to introduce someone new, someone that was kind of on, like, Team Jacqueline a little bit. So that way they could, like, you know, perfect opportunity to kind of bring someone in within the craziness, but also allow for, you know, the show to be able to be eventually move in a different direction. I mean, now, you know,
I agree. I think it needs
really
to be
stuck.
We're stuck because it's like Melissa and Teresa and her brother, it's like fighting back and forth, making up and fighting and waking up, fighting. Oh, Twitter gets in the way and then they fight again. And
it's
just like it's like a vicious cycle. And then we're all getting sucked into it. And then, you know, Jacqueline, this whole fight too. So at some point it does need like a fresh, which I think is probably going to happen this next season with Teresa, the possibility of Teresa going to jail. So
I know. Well, it'll be interesting. They base the whole show around her relationships and it's like Teresa of New Jersey. crazy. I mean,
well,
so,
now it is. That's not how it first started.
I know. And this show's really made quite an evolution.
It has.
And I'm almost wondering, and what do you think? Because I really gave this some thought. I'm wondering if, like, you know, if you really look at, if you've watched other Housewives, and I'm sure you have, and you look at it, and you wonder, in general, and to everyone I'm speaking to, if you look at this show, you wonder if it really is, like, almost the Real Housewives franchise versus it almost feels like, to me, like a spinoff. Like, you know, they have the spinoffs of, like, Kim Zolciak has her show, and it's, like, more focused around, like, that particular, like, alumni housewife. And so that's really how I feel when it comes to this show. Of course, there are shades of other storylines. You know, Caroline's still there, and things are happening, but it's really like Teresa of New Jersey.
It is, and I think it's just because Teresa gives good TV. I mean, it, when it really boils down to it...
Well, she's got that long-term contract, too.
Well,
so.
She has no choice but to be there. But, I mean, just, you know, just, that's what people are finding interesting, and that's the direction that they're going in. And really, what is going on in the lives of Caroline and Kathy that are so fascinating for us to tune in.
Well, like you were saying, we need to balance it out.
We do, and I think they need to bring... They need to freshen up the show. And
I'm not talking about Kim D. Like, I mean someone, like, new. Like, I loved Kim G.
Yeah.
She was like,
you liked her?
Yeah, I did. She was a classic shit stirrer, and I love that. But I mean, we don't need to go back to that. I mean, if Danielle was still around, like, I mean, maybe it would have some relevance, but that's kind of past. But we need someone fresh that we've never really heard of. Not someone's sister or cousin or, you know, just someone new.
Like, totally brand new.
A new last name, someone fresh.
Not related. Because it also gets to be really deep and ugly when they are related. Like, some of these issues just become, I mean, I guess that's what makes.
Well, the show is based around family.
It is. And then it becomes, it just becomes very deep, very ugly, very fast.
I can see where they're going. It's about family. That's a big part of New Jersey, big part of the Italian lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's really how the show was based in the beginning. But, you know, in the first season, they were going out, like, they went to, like, Atlantic City for a weekend and they went shopping. It was just a lot more, like, I'm glad that it's, you know, this is more drama than that. I don't need to see people going shopping at, like, casinos.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, I want a different aspect to it. Yeah. I do like the show. But it could use some freshening up.
And I think a lot of, like, the fans or a lot of our viewers of our show, you know, in making their comments and everything, a lot of them say the same thing. A lot of them are like, bring Danielle back.
Well, I am going to get on that train. I've been saying that forever. Danielle needs to be on the show because it all goes back to her.
It all does.
And some people will argue with me and they'll say, well, not really, because she's been off for a while. But she planted that seed when she brought up that kid's, the nephew at the reunion. And ever since then, they've been riding on that one moment. And so now it's time to really, like, either I heard she's supposed to make some type of an appearance
towards the end of the season.
I don't know. I mean, I would only hope. I just don't want to be disappointed and let down if she doesn't, because and she needs to go on. Like, once they address everything with one another, and, you know, Jacqueline's back friends with, you know, Teresa, whatever happens, they need to go back to, like, the root of that problem, and that is Danielle Staub.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she's the root of, like, all the problem, not the family problems, the brother, the sister, but there, she definitely had a little
storyline wise. Mm-hmm. If you look at how the story is mapped out on the show, like, if you follow it
back.
We
should draw, like, a whole map. Yeah, I almost need to be, like, a family tree of, like, the Housewives from, like, the first episode and everything. All right, so let's talk back to this episode.
Kathy.
So we're done wrapping up with, oh, that's right. We're talking about Kathy and Rosie. And, you know, she had her moment kind of dating or going to that nightclub.
I give her a lot of credit because I wouldn't want to be, like, cruising and have my family over my shoulder and then, like, two or three cameramen and a producer in a van. And, like, following me, like, dating and talking to, like, the only two lesbians in a bar. I mean, you know, really.
It was a lesbian bar.
Yeah, but only, like, two people were there that were actually, like, lesbians. Because remember, she was going through, they were, like, either too young or they were, like, bi-curious. Yeah. I don't know, it just didn't seem like a hot spot. I mean, it was, you know.
It was super awkward to watch. And it was, like, And honestly, like, I can't see how Rosie would really have a hard time finding somebody, especially now with a little bit more publicity on the show.
Yeah, I mean, she's been on for, like, two seasons, and now this is the third.
She's a really popular person on the show. People really like her. I find it hard to find that she can't find someone, but I don't know. Maybe it's
tough. I wasn't liking her shirt. She kind of looked like a gay man of the 70s with her. It was like a weird print shirt. Like,
not feeling her style, her fashion.
No, I mean, she always looks good when she's doing her confessional. She always does. But, I mean, you know, I don't know why she would go out in that outfit.
Yeah. Maybe instead of having her whole family there helping her find someone, they should have helped her get dressed.
I know, right? I know Melissa was there. Melissa can, like, You know, she can pull it together for her. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Kathy, too. Kathy, you know, well, anyway, so now to the real heart of this episode. The sit down between Jacqueline and Teresa. And then throughout the episode, we see, you know, it leading up to this. You've got the phone call of, you know, Teresa wanting to, you know, make that appointment with Jacqueline and all that stuff. And Caroline giving her 2 cents on it. And now it. Oh, wait, we got a caller real quick.
Oh,
welcome to the show. It. You're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tasha from Brooklyn.
What was your name?
Tasha from Brooklyn.
Tasha, hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. So, what do you got to say?
I got to say that I am really disappointed in Teresa. I'm not her biggest fan. I've never been really on her side after. I don't believe Jacqueline set her up and all that. And with last week with Melissa, I understand where Melissa was coming from because they tried so hard, so they were just done. So I understand. I just don't know. I'm just really disappointed in Teresa. And it doesn't seem like she's made any breakthrough, even with the help of Dr. V. And her children are just becoming like her.
They definitely do mirror her, the mother, quite a bit. I don't know if she's made too much progress either. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, with Dr. V, they were really together for 5 minutes. I wonder really, like you mentioned, how much progress, if any, was made. The whole situation with Jacqueline, I'm not sure. I really don't know how much on both sides is too genuine. What do you think?
I'm going to have to side with Jacqueline because I find that Jacqueline will tell you what's up and up in her business. And Teresa, as we see from her indictment charges, you know, she's too shady for words.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everyone's saying, too. Like, when you go on Twitter and the charges and everything against the two of them, it's like, how can you believe a word that comes out of their mouth when they're charged with these kind of things? Like, if someone's willing to lie in that grand scheme, you look at this, and this almost seems like so just inconsequential compared to, like, just the hugeness that's going on in their life right now
what they've done. When the charges were announced, I went on all of the Housewives' Twitter accounts, and everyone was silent except Dina. Dina was, like, you know, giving, like, love and all of that. But even beyond that, like, yeah, everyone just kind of, like, shut down. Maybe you have a point. Maybe everyone was just kind of like, whoa. Like, who is this person after all? Like, I really thought, like,
no, I think
I don't know.
I think most of the people know, and the women know, and everyone there on the show has an idea. And
you don't think anyone was surprised?
I wouldn't think so. No.
I think maybe.
I mean, and you were referring to the women on the show, right? I mean,
yeah.
What are you referring to? Yeah, no, I don't think so. They're all family. They all live in the area. I think they all know what's up. I mean, maybe they were surprised at how much, you know, what they got charged for, but I don't think it was like a shock.
Right. What about you? Do you think that anyone was surprised?
I don't think anyone was surprised. I think they were like, you know, with everything, it kind of makes sense. I guess there was just some, like, I have to agree with how much when you, like, read 39 indictments and then you find out, you know, deported 50 years in jail on top of the VI, the thing, you're like, that is a lot to keep hidden and to keep up the facade of what she was living this life. It's like, if you can do this, then I think you did everything with your brother, and you're trying to shift blame onto other people.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, if they're willing to do that, what aren't they willing to do? That's why it's hard.
Because now they're real criminals.
Yeah. And
they're real, exactly.
And it brings into question almost everything that's said and done. And I'm not saying that, you know, that makes Melissa and Joey like the good guys here, you know, and then the bad guys. To be quite honest, I think they're all crazy. And they all, and it's like we're watching a circus right now. Mm-hmm. We're watching one circus animal against another circus animal and then all their little fights back and forth. And sometimes some are right, sometimes the other's right. And I don't know. It's just crazy. Madhouse.
So, go ahead.
Yeah. For me, it's like, they're all bad, but who is the worst of the worst?
Yeah, who do you trust?
Yeah, I know.
And who do you trust?
And it has to be Teresa. And first of all, even with his good thing with Dr. V and people were praising him, I was like, no. He's still, no. I just still don't like him.
Right. I liked him on that sixth episode.
Are you kind of in the middle? I don't believe, for what I'm getting from you, that you're really on any side. I think you just think everyone's crazy, right?
I'm going to have to side with Jacqueline, even though she's kind of crazy. I'm going to have to side with Jacqueline and Melissa. And when you, it's just, after everything comes out, then it's like, and it's like holding up a mirror to the person and being like, you see, we told you. You don't know who this person is. This is what we live with. I mean.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah,
and
thanks for calling
great
in.
Great comments and great insight. We love it when you guys call in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night in Brooklyn.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
It's late over there. Well, not then.
I love the calls. I love that you take calls. Some other shows didn't take calls, so I love that.
Oh, we love getting our callers and tweets and everything and interacting Fantastic. With the listeners. So, okay, let's talk about the sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jacqueline and Teresa finally come together, and I thought it was interesting that the men were involved.
Yeah, they all showed up. Yeah,
that the men sat down, and of course, just like men. 2 seconds,
made
up. Yeah. I knew
water
it.
Water under the bridge.
It. Yeah, water under the bridge. All right, let's drink.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Chris was like, you know, I miss hanging out with Joe, and I miss our relationship, and what's done is done. Let bygones be bygones.
You can tell Chris is just kind of like, I'll just overlook it. Like, you know, you can tell he knows the type of person that Juicy Joe is.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. And, all right, but then now you got Teresa and Jacqueline. And so Teresa basically saying, you know, Jacqueline basically being upset at the fact that it's revealed that she was upset that she overheard Teresa saying that she hated Jacqueline and they couldn't stand the side of her face. And supposedly that happened when they went on their Napa trip.
Correct. Yep.
And, you know, so Jacqueline was upset about that. And Teresa's like, okay, so now you're upset about that. And as a result, now you have to tear up our whole family. And that.
Yeah.
And then Teresa's still accusing Jacqueline of breaking up the relationship, because after that night at the fashion show, when Jacqueline said it was a setup, Teresa and Joey just never didn't talk again.
Right. And Teresa also held it against her about mentioning that her husband cheated on her.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to see like where Teresa's like mind was. Yeah. And like how she like put all of these like ducks in a row towards making Jacqueline the guilty party, because like you wonder like what the hell outside of that fashion, like wait, what is Teresa thinking that would automatically make her think that Jacqueline is like out to get her?
Because
it was just really so ridiculous for me as a viewer at that time. I was like, what? And so now I really see
it. Made it clear to me too, also, because I didn't understand too if like why Jacqueline did tell Joey that Teresa set it up. Like, and if Teresa did in fact set her up, though, why did Jacqueline feel the need to be the one to tell him? And why was she so upset at Teresa at the time? Because like we saw, they had made up and things were good, but look, it turns out, you know, she heard her talking bad about her and was upset about that. So
how mad is production they didn't get that on camera?
I don't know.
Because that's like
so we didn't hear that,
no,
right? That's
no.
What I was trying to recall back,
right,
and he gets
no.
New information. So, you know, till Jacqueline was like, you know, when I heard that, I was so upset because I thought we had just made up. Like, what's going on? We made up and we're putting the things behind us, and now you turn around and telling Melissa, I can't stand Jacqueline, I can't stand her. And so at that point, Jacqueline's probably like, I don't know where to go from here with our relationship. But so then we see the whole fashion show and that whole thing that went down.
Yeah.
So I think that the issue here is that Jacqueline doesn't feel that Teresa is putting any responsibility, taking any responsibility for anything. And that is true to Teresa. Like she doesn't ever take any responsibility. However, you know, at the same time, Teresa's upset with Jacqueline because Jacqueline, you know, goes below the belt, according to Teresa. She takes to Twitter and goes kind of crazy on Twitter. So what do you think about all
that? I thought it was really good that we got to really hear everything that Teresa saw and how she perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't agree with all of it, but, like, I can see how these, like, Twitter actions and the way she would come across, you know, with being evil, as Teresa referred to her as. Like, I can see, like, if you let someone get in your head, like, they were good friends. So, like, she kind of definitely spun it out of control. And then the whole deal with flashback to Jacqueline getting 800 pages faxed to her about Danielle. Which I like Danielle, but even I'm not going to go that far. But, I mean, so I can see why she would feel that Jacqueline is just being a pain in the ass, and she, like has a lot of free time on her hands to go digging. But that's just Jacqueline. I think that's just her way, is when she's very loyal, and when someone, like, I don't know, when someone goes against her, or she's not trusting of somebody, she's going to do her work, because she doesn't want to be made a fool of. And unfortunately, she even realizes that she attracts toxic people. And so I think she's trying to break, but it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Jacqueline kind of does like to dig around and poke around, and like she goes online a lot, and she's on Twitter a lot, and she did do that whole thing with Danielle, and she does strike me as one of those people. And we're seeing, like we've said this about Melissa, even though Jacqueline's been there from the start, but we're seeing all these aspects of Jacqueline's personality come forward now. All these things of like the fact that she gets kind of crazy, and you know, she's drinking, and she'll go off kind of batshit crazy on the phone, and the weird things that she does and says are we're seeing a little bit more of that. But she strikes me as the kind of person who's, you know, is a loyal person, a loyal friend. And she'd be that girl that would, like, sock somebody else for her friend. She'd be that kind of crazy girl, the one that'll like, well, let me go find out and dig up all this dish on her and do that.
Right.
And so she...
Oh, we saw it in the flashbacks, too. And she was like, did you knock someone out the 9mm gun? And so, like, you could just tell, like, she loves to be armed with facts.
With all that.
Yeah.
But what you know, I do feel that where Jacqueline does have a point is the fact that... Because I don't like the whole idea, like, this whole Twitter thing. I think I find that annoying, too. Like, the fact that she goes with a belt, she tweets all these awful things. I just think that's awful and annoying. And it just doesn't look good on Jacqueline's part. But where I do think Jacqueline has a point is that, you know, Teresa can't blame Jacqueline solely for the demise of her and her brother's relationship. Like, there are issues there before. And if... The fact that Jacqueline did say that, right? It's just all a setup.
Yeah.
If it was just it only took that for Teresa and Joey not to talk for a year and a half. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There had to have been holes in the foundation in order for something like that to have such an effect
She's not going to take credit for it. I mean, she's not going to take the fault, the blame, the fall, whatever, for that things.
Yeah. Well, you mean Teresa?
Teresa, yeah.
Well, Teresa's not going to take the fall of the relationship. I mean, Jacqueline did have a little bit part in it, but Teresa's just putting all the blame on Jacqueline.
Right, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, she's not going to take any responsibility for the fact that, oh, we had some of an issue. And...
So it'll be interesting, because we didn't see Jacqueline's side of the things.
No, it's going to come next week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I almost feel like these two are just at a stalemate, and that's how I felt at the end of last year's reunion with everybody. Mm-hmm. I was like, where do you even move to? Like, what do you even do? Because no one was accepting, like, you know, few people accepted blame for what they could, but it all went back to Teresa, and she just didn't say anything. And so, like, where do you go on from there? And I really honestly don't see Teresa sitting down from Jacqueline and being, you know what, I was an idiot, I apologize, and then being calling each other every day again. Like, I just don't see it happening. So I'm wondering, I mean, how do they, I figure, and, you know, we know that eventually things will be patched up or they'll be, you know, civil. But, I mean, I don't see Teresa, like, breaking down the way she did and just admitting anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think with Jacqueline, and I'm interested to see what happens next week. At the end of the episode, Teresa says, like, how did I hurt you? Like, why would you go and say that I set him up, especially if Teresa didn't, you know, say Teresa didn't set her up and Jacqueline made this up, or say Teresa did a little bit and Jacqueline was in on it because they were friends and now Jacqueline turned on Teresa. I am interested to see, why did Jacqueline do that? Why? Because up until now, I wasn't really clear why Jacqueline did that. You had always thought that Jacqueline had Teresa's back. And why did Jacqueline turn on Teresa? Was it because she overheard Teresa saying, oh, I can't, I hate Jacqueline? Maybe that's the reason why. And so, I don't know. I'm interested to see how this second half of the dinner goes down. And, yeah. So.
All right.
I think that kind of wraps up the episode, unless you have anything else to add about it.
No, let's just get into some news and gossip,
shall we? Yeah, there's a lot of news.
TV news.
Okay, so as most of you, I'm sure, already know,
yes.
On Monday, prosecutors announced that the judiciaries are facing 39 counts of fraud, including not reporting information to the IRS between 2001 and 2008. Charges include tax evasion and trying to get illegal mortgages and loans from banks. Joe allegedly failed to file income tax returns from 2004 to 2008, and when they filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in 2009, they allegedly didn't put down income from the Bravo show. On Tuesday of this week, they appeared in court, posting $500,000 bond each. They will be arraigned on August 14th and could face up to 50 years in prison.
Yeah, I mean, it took $1 million to get them out. It took $1 million to get these two people out of prison.
God.
I mean... these are some serious charges. This isn't really like, you know, housewives have had, you know, lawsuits in the past, but I mean, no one's really been, I don't think anyone's been in front of a federal judge.
No, this is hardcore. I mean, like you said, they're criminals.
Yeah.
I mean, this is insane. And
now,
so it's.
Let me pose a question. Teresa, we'll just say that, you know, maybe some things go over her head. She's, you know, not the most, you know, I don't think she'd be very financially savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they claim that a lot of things are, like, put in front of her and she just signed things. Do you think that Teresa has any clue that she has any wrongdoing here? Or do you think she knew what she was doing the whole time? What do you think?
You know,
it's tough.
It is tough. And that's something I was thinking about. Like, how much does she know? I don't think she knows everything, because I don't think Joe probably told everything. I mean,
right.
He was accused also of signing her signature a lot of times without her knowing. And so I think there are parts of it that she didn't know. And maybe she knew, and I do believe she knew that there was wrongdoing. I don't believe she knew to the extent. I think she's so busy. They've got four girls. She's doing, you know, raising the girls. She's on the housewives. So I don't think she knows. And I don't know if it's for the fact because it just went over her head, or that Joe just kept it from her.
Yeah.
And I think he probably kept a lot from her.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, they claim that she could be responsible,
yeah,
too.
Well, they say that she, you know, they're accusing Teresa of falsely stating that she had a job as an executive assistant.
Right.
Making it possible for them to get, like, larger mortgages. And they also hid additional income Teresa was receiving from, you know, from the housewives. Mm-hmm. And... I don't know.
I mean, it's bad because it's now really they're bad. Saying they're going to use the show as evidence to prove that they had a lifestyle while they were, like, you know, applying for bankruptcy, that they still, you know, the very first episode, she was telling us about her French chateau-style house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then remember all the furniture that was purchased?
Everything.
I mean, she would just go out and she was like, oh, I heard the bank's crashing, so I buy everything with cash. And you saw the cash flow. I mean, that show, talk about, like, that show gave her something and it could easily take everything away.
I remember the first few episodes when she went shopping. I think it was for Gia. And I don't know, it was like a crazy amount of money she spent at some, like, little baby boutique or something. And you saw them doing that a lot. You don't see her doing that at all this season.
No.
And you didn't really see it as much last season. And so, of course, now with all of this going on, everyone's asking, like, what's going on now with the Housewives of New Jersey? So,
right. According
to In Touch Weekly, Teresa will attend the taping of the Real Housewives of New Jersey Season 5 reunion with the fellow cast members.
She's obligated. That's our contract. So, okay, that doesn't really shock me.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's in the contract, but maybe there's something in the contract that says unless you're in jail or unless you're like...
Well, that's true. She could do a little Skype video cast.
Teresa, according to In Touch, Teresa has no plans to stop filming. The reunion will likely film in late August or early September. Bravo didn't return the Huntington Post request for comments. However, according to In Touch, the ladies won't be able to discuss what's going on with the... with Teresa at the reunion because of the nature of her charges.
That's no fun.
That is no fun because everyone wants to know what's going on.
Yeah, and, I mean, people are going to be watching for that.
And following the court appearance, Teresa had a tweet. Thank you all so much for your love and support. It means the world to me and my family. Tanti Bachi, which is always what she signs off with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've got. What do you got real quick?
Okay, well, The View, a show that I absolutely hate, was talking a lot about The Real Housewives this week. It was I mean, their facts are always incorrect. They said from the former Real, they said that they were going to have words from the former Real Housewives of New Jersey co-stars that were turning against the Giudices, and they said that a lot of folks are speaking out, and this that were on the show, and this is totally false. No one has one chick. I don't know if you remember this woman named Monica, and her husband,
the attorney.
Her husband sued Joe at one point, and so she's taking full credit for this whole. This whole situation, yes, whole debacle. She's saying, the work we put in to make sure the judge recognized they were committing fraud ultimately resulted in them withdrawing their petition and tipping off the feds. She explains, it's been a long road. It does feel good.
Don't you remember Monica was the one that came to the Christmas party?
And they kicked her out.
And Melissa kicked her out and was like, oh, you know, I kicked her out because Teresa didn't want her and Teresa didn't want her because obviously Monica was the attorney.
I mean, it feels good. This woman has four kids. And both her and her husband could be put away in federal prison. Come on, it feels good. That's really disgusting.
but if they're really, really doing what they're really doing that, that's illegal.
I know.
Against the law.
I know.
It's not
I keep
right
thinking
to
about
do,
that. I keep
know?
Thinking
you're,
about that.
You're still, granted, you're on this television show. We've gotten to really like you and your husband and your family, your beautiful children. I like Teresa. I'm starting to like Juicy Joe. But these are crimes. These are bad, bad crimes.
No, it's true. They're no joke.
No, they're
no joke.
It's no
slap on the wrist either. Mm-hmm. It's going to result. Well, current cast has remained very quiet, like I mentioned earlier, excluding Kim D, who's in full support of Teresa and says that it's just been a witch hunt from the beginning.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, these are federal charges. I don't know if anyone's just going after them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that goes with the same vein. It's like if you are committing crimes.
Right.
You know, you're going to get, eventually, it's karma. Eventually, things are going to happen and you're going to get caught.
Right.
I always believe that. So, and in some ways, this is so much worse to commit a crime in this way, in such a public way. And now they're going to use all the footage from the Bravo against,
I mean they've got four or five seasons now? Five seasons, right? This is season five.
Yeah. Season
yeah.
Five,
so that's like a lot. All right. And then lastly, Danielle Staub, who we mentioned earlier, could she be smarter than Teresa? Danielle was, in similar circumstances. She filed for bankruptcy in June of 2012. She claimed that she hid cash in various, areas and different variables, while she was filing. And TMZ says that she recently forked over $35,000 to settle her debts and not have any problems with the feds. So interesting that Danielle, who's always seemed to be in a total financial mess,
always.
And Teresa was always the one on top of the hill with
wearing
all the money.
Her furs,
this one actually got out with no problem, unscathed.
Yeah, I mean, I have to just end the saying, like, being a fan of Teresa, it is sad to see this. It's sad that they did commit these crimes. It's just sad that they committed them.
It's a terrible situation for the kids, especially.
The kids, that's who I feel sorry for, are these children. The four girls that not only are in the middle of this with this entire reality show, dealing with the brother, you know, their uncle not being in their life, their grandparents, whatever, but now this, that, those are the real victims of this entire debacle,
exactly.
Are the kids.
Exactly. Like, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but also, I mean, I just don't see it ending well, so it'll almost be kind of sad to see, like, where this goes. Like, I mean, I don't know. I can't say I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
I think it'll definitely be a piece in, like, pop culture history, for sure.
Yeah.
When you, like, 10 years from now, when you go back and they're talking about, reality TV, blah, 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 and I guarantee this is going to go up there as, like, one of those points in reality TV history. So anyways, we've got to wrap things up. I know we could talk forever and forever about
but we'll just have to come back next week.
Yes. So where can everyone find you?
All right, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Grant Michael R.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And I am your host, Erica Garcia Rojas. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at IamEGR. Thank you for you guys for all those comments. Keep on leaving them. Go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, hopefully. And till next week, thank you so much for tuning in, guys.
Thank you.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.